Our next guest is the CEO of TiderInsider.com, the original website that covers college football teams, and he does it like no other. He joins us now, Rodney Orr, on the Bird's Bar and Pizza Hotline. Bird's Bar and Pizza, great artisan pizza, cold pints, and much more. You can check it out for Monday Night Football tonight. Rodney, good morning.
How's it going?
How are you?
Doing well. Doing great.
Are you?
Fantastic. What a way to start off the week.
How's
Pat Smith and Scott Griffin.
That's right. Not a lot of people can say that, but
that's
you
very
can.
Very impressive. Very, very impressive. I'm going to let Pat jump on the defensive backs here in a minute. I will say this. Jalen Hurts is getting better. He looks better. The balls, and I'm not talking about stats. You know I don't do that. I'm talking about the balls coming out better. The decisions are quicker. He's done good work in the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, he has. He's got, as you said it, I think he continues to take steps. I thought that beautiful throw he made, I think it was the last pass he had in the game, to Devontae Smith across the field. What a throw that was. And he continues to run really well. I think there were a couple of times that he did bail out a little early when there wasn't really pressure, and he stayed in there. He had one where Ruggs was breaking free for a touchdown, and he bailed out to the right. But I think those are things that they'll get it ironed out.
Let me ask you about the defense. Let me go there right now. Currently, they're number 37 in America. That's something that's very odd to see. I know they had the injuries at the linebacker position that Nick Saban addressed after the game on Saturday. But moving forward, getting into SEC play, how do you think that they'll fine-tune or try to fine-tune the issues that they're seeing now defensively?
Well, I wish I knew exactly. Maybe they'll get Anthony Jennings back for one and Rashawn Evans. That would certainly help, I think. A lot of mental mistakes out there. Just watching it from the press box, you could see several of them that were just little tweaks here and there that had they, made this play or that play and been in position. For example, they let a back, flare out free along the sidelines, or they had a corner blitz and left Gallup wide open down the left sideline. Had another play where I think Mac Wilson completely overran the play when he should have, kept the receiver outside. Would have been a real simple play for no gain. It turns into a 20-yard play. So just little things like that, I think corrections certainly would go a long way. I thought at times during the game the defense looked good. And then there were times when, this quarterback, Nick Stevens, made some throws too now. And that Gallup's the receiver, that tight end made a great catch with Minka Fitzpatrick all over him. So that wasn't a bad group of receivers and quarterback at all. In fact, they were pretty good.
What else did we learn in this game? Miller Forstall goes out with an ACL. Unfortunate, because that's a pass-catching tight end. I still think they're okay. Hale Hinches is better. Irv Smith, you've always raved about, is really good. Do they take a red shirt off Major Tennyson or somebody else? Do they need three, or what will they do?
Well, they might. Ronnie Clark's still around. I think they've been hoping to have a role for him in some way. And we'll watch out for him at H-back a little bit. And he's obviously not quite the same as Miller Forstall, but that's you're right. I mean, there's Major Tennyson, there's Kedrick James. Those are two guys that right now have yet to play. So, I don't know exactly what their plan is there in terms of replacing Forstall.
What about the trio of running backs? And then it was also good to see the fourth guy, Jacobs, get in the game for Alabama. He's coming off the hamstring situation. So with this offense being the way it is after three games, you can tell that all these guys are going to try to get as much work as possible. Unless you feel, Rodney, that they get the hot hand, you will see one guy get the bulk of the carries, maybe Damian Harris.
I thought that both those guys, both Scarborough and Damian Harris, kind of got into a groove. They started in the second half. Seemed like they had a good rotation with them. I thought the offensive line was getting a better push at times in the second half. You remember on Bo Scarborough's touchdown run, it was, man, the middle of the line just blew the Colorado State defensive front off the ball really well. And great push. That may be as good a push as they've had all year. So looked a little better there up front at times, getting a push. I thought the combination with Scarborough and Harris looked really good. Najee played a little bit. I think Joshua Jacobs is going to get a role here as we start to move along. He looked really good on that one run where he beat the guy to the edge. And he's going to be a guy that's going to add some speed and quickness and different things to the backfield. And also with his ability, his versatility to come out of the backfield and catch the ball, that's going to be big.
Vanderbilt looked pretty good. This is going to be a little bit kind of like Colorado State, a better game than people think, I think.
Yeah. You know, I really haven't seen them play yet, but I know that they have an outstanding defense, really good defense. Derek Mason's done a great job there, obviously turning them around after his first year. And, you know, that quarterback's pretty good. Shurmur.
Yeah. Kyle Shurmur. Yeah. Very good.
I remember watching him last year against Auburn. He kind of picked them apart a little bit. And I think he's really good. So, you know, he's going to be a challenge to this defense for sure. Going up there, they're pretty excited. You know, I don't, what does that stadium hold?
Maybe 37 to 40, maybe. But I will tell you that it was sold out the other night, and the majority was Kansas State fans. A lot of people made the trip from Manhattan. Wow. It was a lot of purple. And I just like any time Alabama plays in Nashville.
Minimum half, if not more.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Rodney, after three games, and I know the injury bug has maybe affected this football team a little bit more than it has in years past, but is there one area that has surprised you, whether good or bad, on this football team as we've hit maybe, you know, the three-game pull on the stretch for Alabama?
Well, I think we need to give some kudos to Andy Papanastos.
Yes, I agree.
You know, he had the 47-yarder or 46-yarder, I think it was, and that would have been good from 50, I thought. It at least cleared the bar by 3 or 4 yards, and then he came back and hit another one. So I think he's, 7 of 9 right now?
And that's his first two over 40.
Yeah.
And as you said, the first one was 46, pretty good.
Yeah, yeah. So he's 7 of 9, and we thought 40 and in was his range, but remember a couple of weeks ago we said that, hey, it looked like he might even be able to hit from 40-plus if, you know, he doesn't overkick it, and he seems just much more comfortable here with his approach Saturday night. Man, he nailed those two, and, you know, that could be really big. I mean, well, this guy is, you know, this was in August camp, we were sitting here talking, this is a disaster. And, you know, hey, so he would be the guy that would pop to my mind the first, I guess. And, you know, I do think you have to give kudos to Jalen Hurts. He's come a long way. He's taken a lot of steps. And this will be a big step for him against Vanderbilt on the road. It's a real quality defense. You know, I think it's here's a guy that kid comes into a Tongo Vailoa, has a great spring. Has a great spring day. Everybody's talking spring game. Everybody's talking about, you know, he's going to push the guy. And, you know, you have to seem like a kid would feel some pressure with that. But he seemingly hasn't. He's carried it all in stride. And I think he's doing a really good job. And it's going to be interesting to see him Saturday against a Vanderbilt defense that's going to be better than what he's seen, you know, in these last two games. Certainly not Florida State, but better than these last two games.
I know that you've been, obviously, you're focused on Alabama, but the rest of the SEC, it appears to me, again, early on, that this league is not going to be as strong as it has been in years past. When you have the likes of Vanderbilt, Mississippi State, and Kentucky getting all this publicity by being undefeated and watching what went on down at the Swamp, LSU defensively, they've got issues along with their offense. Mississippi State looks very strong. What is your assessment of the Southeastern Conference early on?
Well, I mean, it's obviously, you know, you've had some, when you look at Tennessee in the East and Florida, they're obviously, I guess the best way to put it, they look to me that they're you know, Jim McElwain's won two SEC East titles, but he struggled with having a quarterback. Their offense has not been very good. Their defensively, they've been okay. They were really good the previous 2 years. Tennessee is obviously in a shambles. You know, when you have teams like that, and LSU now in a shambles with Orgeron, it's amazing how these teams have really fallen off. I mean, LSU, I mean, think about it. Had they beaten Alabama in 2011 in the national championship game, they were the premier team in the country, premier yeah. program in the country.
Absolutely.
And how far they have slipped. I mean, just really kind of amazing. But Mississippi State's a real story to me. I mean, Dan Mullen, you know, I don't know what it is about people not really giving him credit, but, you know, he had them number one in the country in 2014, and which was amazing. And then now look at them with where they've come last year. Obviously, they weren't really that good, but Nick Fitzgerald, the quarterback, what they've done defensively, they've got a great defensive lineman, Jeffrey Simmons. That's an interesting team to watch.
Rodney Orr, our guest here, a few minutes, Tighter Insider and TighterInsider.com. And, of course, CEO, head cook, and garbage guy, I think, this week there for TighterInsider.com. I know there was a recruit that picked Alabama over Texas A&M and TCU. You were kind of excited about. Tell us what's happening there and with this daily story of some fans freaking out that Alabama's, you know, still not number one in the country in recruiting.
Well, Vernon Jackson from Bowling, Texas, 6'2", 240. He's a really outstanding athlete. If you remember Kendall Beckwith, played at LSU, the linebacker they've had that's been so good mm-hmm. over the last several years. And he was a high school quarterback just like Vernon Jackson is. I mean, they were kind of reminds me of a similar situation. And Beckwith went on to LSU to be an outstanding linebacker. I think that's kind of what's expected of Vernon Jackson to be a linebacker in college. I think he's, you know, tremendous player. I mean, 6'2", 240, can run really fast. You go watch his film on Huddle, you're amazed at how fast this guy is at 240 pounds, how well he runs. But I think it's a great pickup, tremendous pickup. I think Texas missed the boat. They got in on him late. Had they got in on him a little bit earlier now, they might have been a real threat. But, you know, that there again, it's Alabama evaluating players that, like we said, these are guys not rated a five-star, but I'm telling you, he's a five-star talent.